Lord God, we honor you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, God, for your anointing, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, my life, Lord, you've been faithful. Oh, you've been so, so good to me, Jesus. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my church. I thank you for my health. I thank you for the clothes on my body, for a bed to sleep in. I thank you for my job. I thank you for the money in my bank account. I thank you for the cars that got me here. I thank you for my wife, Lord. I thank you for our leaders. I thank you for our members. I thank you for our band, our musicians and singers. I thank you for our ushers and media people and door greeters and Sunday school teachers. I thank you, Lord, for all. Thank you, Jesus, God. You've been so good to us. You've been so, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All my life, you have been faithful. Hallelujah. All my life, you have been faithful. Praise the Lord. God is so good in this place. One more time, let us clap our hands to the Lord. And hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has been so, so good. God bless you. It's wonderful to have each and every one of you here with us today. Amen. God bless you, our guests in the back. Good to have you with us. God bless you. And then all the others, God bless you all again. Good to see you again. And praise the Lord. God is just so good. He is faithful. And we're just here to testify of that. God bless you. You can be seated. We a few testimonies here today. Excited to have Reverend Mayo preaching for us today. He is a minister out of my father's church in Fort Pierce. He is, in addition to everything else, he's also the outreach director and hyphen ministry coordinator. His wife does many things in the church. Wonderful to have his family here with us. Hallelujah. I feel like maybe last time they didn't come with you, maybe. But it's wonderful to have them. It's a blessing to have him here, and I just can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do with the rest of the service. Amen? Amen? God bless you. Our Sunday school can be dismissed. How about we worship the Lord right now as we invite Brother Mayo to come and take his liberty and preach the word of the Lord. Come on, let's give God the praise right now as he comes forward.
Come on, church. All my life, he has been faithful. We can worship him a little bit longer than that. All my life, he has been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, hallelujah, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness, oh Lord, is running after. It's running after me. Hallelujah. Can we worship him? Can we magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that desires to commune with us, that desires to be next with us, that desires to move on our lives and our souls? Come on, can we worship him? Hallelujah. I don't have to preach only 5 minutes if we can understand that the Lord is worthy of praise, that he is the answer to every problem, that he is the way to get victory over every situation. All my life, Jesus, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I felt it in the prayer room this morning. God is wanting to pour out something this morning. God's wanting to do something awesome this morning. Hallelujah. We just have to get out of our way and let him have his way. Amen? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am so excited to be here. I'm so thankful for the opportunity once again. Hallelujah. It's very interesting. We talked about this. I was thinking about this, and I was like, why in the world am I thinking about this, Pastor Meehan? But when I first came back, so I interned with Florida Power and Light back in 2012, and when I first came back, Pastor Aaron Meehan was still the youth pastor over Open Door Apostolic Church. And when we went there, I went to a youth service, and when we were all praying and stuff, he prayed on me and he said that I need to make sure that I stay submitted. Amen. And I'm like, you know, I didn't understand it at the time, but God revealed in due time what that was for. And I'm here to tell you, I agree with everything that's been spoken. When you submit yourself, when you are obedient to God, but not just to God, but to the men of God in your life and to your spouse and all that stuff, God moves in a greater way than you can ever imagine or expect. Amen? God loves. Now, this is free, okay? This is not even my message, but I feel on my heart. God loves to use the things that the world hates to pursue something that's more powerful than the world can ever give. Amen? God loves it. The world hates submission. The world hates obedience, but God loves it. And he has promised to bless those that are submitted and that are obedient to him and to those that are in authority over them. Amen? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That was free. All right. Amen. I don't have all the time up here, and we've already had a good service. So I'm going to keep going. And I'd like for you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're going to go to verse number 26. Amen. John chapter 20 and 26. I'll give some time for those that are turning their Bibles. I'd like to say before I move on how thankful I am for the Meehan family. Aaron, you are my friend. You are my friend. And I think of you and your family as my family. You have been there for me. You have helped me in my ministry. I'll tell you, church, I came to Open Door Apostolic Church, Pastor Meehan's father's church, thinking that I was coming right off of a church camp. Everything was going great. And I'm like, I know everything that I need to know about the Word of God. I'm just going to coast and be blessed for the rest of my life. And the first time I stepped into that church, Pastor Meehan showed me how much of the Word I needed to know and led me to be a student of the Word. And I'm so thankful for that. Amen. I'm so thankful for you and your family. So thankful. Hallelujah. He's a great man of God. Hallelujah. All right. John chapter 20, verse 26, and says, after 8 days again, his disciples were with him and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. We're not done yet. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 5 and 6. And I promise after that, we'll be done, and you all can be seated. All right. Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Amen. These scriptures may seem very distant from one another, but I'm here to tell you they have one common theme. And before I go to my lesson title, I want to tell you a little bit about this lesson. As God spoke to me this lesson, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and he laid it on my heart, and the question that he laid unto me was, brought me back to that discussion about doubting Thomas, and he said, you know, why was there scars? Why was there scars? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the entire universe. He builds and destroys whatever he wants. It's not beyond him when he has a resurrected body to make that clean and pure, perfectly resurrected body with no instance of any kind of issues, of pain, of anything like that. All the scars could have been gone, but for some reason, Jesus left the scars in his body. And so I want to talk to you a little bit today about what I feel God has laid on my heart, the scars that remain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your love and your kindness. We thank you for being the God that you are, for being so mindful of us, for caring about us, for hungering, hallelujah, toward us, hallelujah, to see our good, to move on us in a mighty way. We're so thankful for you, God. We ask you to open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to our understanding of your word and of who you are, God. Lead us and direct us in every way as we surrender ourselves to you, God. I surrender myself to you, Lord Jesus. Use me according to your will and purpose. Let your will be done this morning as we give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's worship the Lord as you're seated. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. I technically don't need that, but I think there's an online portion of this, so that may be helpful for them. Amen. Although I'm probably loud enough that they can hear me even if I didn't have a mic. But anyway, Juliet in the play, Shakespeare play, Romeo and Juliet, is quoted by saying, "What is in a name?" And in that question, what she is trying to portray is that a name is really meaningless. It's more about the character of the person. It's more about the way about a person and how they act that truly defines and is truly important towards that person acting the way that they should or having the life and the purpose that they intend to have. And although there is some truth to that, when you look at the Word of God in the Bible, that is absolutely not the case. The Bible made it very clear multiple times as you look throughout the scriptures that names had an utmost importance. It defined who people were. It helped establish their purpose, that God's intended plan for their life. It helped recognize the ones that we should emulate today in today's age and some that we should stay away from. We shouldn't be like Achan. Amen? The one who hid all the Babylonian goods under his tent. Amen? We can recognize that that's not a good place to be. And we can look so many other places and see that there is some blessing that comes through those people that are purpose. No, moreover, we find that God had an intent and a purpose for the name, so much so that for people that were called by him, that have obeyed the call and followed after him, God at times gave them a completely new name. God doesn't just do things because he thinks that it's a decent thing to do. He doesn't just do things just because. There's a purpose and there's a procedure, there's a process behind everything he does. And so we need to take sight and take look when God decides that he's going to change somebody's name. Abram, which means father, became Abraham, which means father of nations. And we can see throughout the children of Israel and through the promise that was passed out from many generations on top of just the children of Israel, what God did through a faithful Abraham. Jacob was considered supplanter or deceiver. That was his original name. And boy, did he hold true to that name. Amen. But one point in time, one place in his life, he wrestled with God, wanted a change in his life. He wanted to do something different. He didn't want to go back to Esau as a supplanter. He wanted to go back to Esau in victory. He wanted to go back to Esau with a new mindset, a new purpose, a new destiny. And so God, as he wrestled with Jacob, said, "Thou art no more called Jacob, but Israel, because thou hast found favor with man and with God." That name Israel means one who strives with God or prince of God, or prince with God. Amen? God changed Jacob's name to define his new destiny. Oh, hallelujah. And one of my favorite ones that I've seen in the Word of God, and I'll be honest, I've missed this for so many years. When David had a sinful relationship with Bathsheba, their first son passed away. But their second son was completely different. And that second son's name was Solomon. They called him Solomon, which was peaceable. God had brought peace to them, and God had brought peace over the situation. God had condoned the marriage after everything was done and allowed things to go forward that after the sin was committed and forgiveness was laid out. God moved forward, and God brought a son to David and Bathsheba to comfort them in their time of loss. And so they said, well, I'm so thankful that God is peaceable unto us. I'm so thankful that destruction hasn't come to us. I'm so thankful that God has moved in a mighty way. But God had a different plan of what he wanted to name Solomon. And Nathan went to David and said, I'm not going to name him Solomon. To me, he's going to be called Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and if you look at Solomon's life and the blessings that he had, there is no doubt that he was beloved of the Lord. There's no doubt that God loved him and established things that is still resonating throughout these generations and will resonate all the way till Jesus returns. Hallelujah. Praise God. God changed his name to define his destiny and his truth. Amen. So names are important in the Word of God. And if God focuses so much on the names of those that he chooses and he calls to serve him, how much more is he going to pay attention to his own name? There have been many names that have been described in the Word of God to describe who God is. Originally, Moses ask God, God, who do I call you? What is the name that I should say to all my people that is delivering? And God said, just tell them I am that I am. Now, this is powerful because God was expressing an attribute of who he was more than a definition of his name. And he was saying, I am who was, I am who is, and I am who is to come. Amen. In other words, I dwell in the realm of eternity. Time has no place in my mindset. I move in and out of time as I desire, and I can do whatever I want. So if you want to know the name of the God that is going to deliver you, it's a God that can do whatever he wants with whatever he wants. It's a God that can bring victory over any other God. It's a God that can deliver over anything else. So I want you to tell them, I am that I am, and I am going to deliver them. Hallelujah. But that wasn't his true name. They couldn't understand the depth of it. They renamed that I am as Jehovah. And we see that throughout the Word of God. And people came up as they were moved by God, and God worked on them in many different ways to describe, okay, this is an attribute of Jehovah. They came up with things like Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Jireh, I am is my provider. Jehovah Chesek, I am is my strength. And so they had many things that brought up over and over again to remind them of the many beautiful and wonderful attributes of God. They tried to name God for what they could see. They tried to name God for how he made them feel. But it wasn't the name that God placed upon himself. Hallelujah. But we find one day, long time ago, an angel came to a virgin named Mary and said, you are going to birth God wrapped in flesh. You are going to birth the Savior of the entire world. And the name that you are to give your son, the name that you are to give this miracle from God, the name that you are to give on this time where every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord of all, is no other than the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want us to clap and get excited because we know Jesus, amen? But I want us to get more excited about the reason why Jesus is named Jesus. The word Jesus means Jehovah Savior, or Jehovah is become my salvation. Now, we've gone down a long road so far, so I want us to summarize so we can get the weight of what I am trying to express today. God sees names as important. He denoted names on the people that he chose to change their purpose and to define their destiny. And when God decided to make his own name, he didn't make it to say, I'm God, the all-powerful one. I'm God, the all-merciful one. I'm God, the all-holy one. He made his name to say, I'm God, your Savior. I'm the God that loves you. I'm the God that cares about you, that is desperate over your soul, that wants you to be with me for eternity. I'm not worried about peace. I'm not worried about strength. I'm not worried about how mighty I am. I want to see you saved. God's name defined his purpose and who he is. It's not to give you joy. It's not give you peace, but it's to save your soul. It's so that one day you can meet him in the air and you can say, oh, thank God, heaven is my home. Yes, God. It's for the opportunity for him to wipe every tear from your eyes. For, oh, hallelujah. I pray somebody's getting this morning. God's desire more than anything else is for you to be saved. It is fully represented his ultimate purpose toward us. God's ultimate desire is to see your soul saved. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what happened to you in your past. It doesn't matter how many times you've been in and out of church. The name Jesus is never changing. He said, I am the Savior. I'm being the Savior, and I'm going to be the Savior in the future. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, I'm defined by my desire to see your soul saved. And when you call on me, I'm going to answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we come back to the question. Why do the scars remain? Why did Jesus in his power and his might, the one that created everything, the one that existed before anything else, why would he leave the scars in his body? Because I believe that God considered perfection as being aligned with his purpose. Hallelujah. And so he didn't see a perfect body as a body that was all cleaned up and all good, but he saw a perfect body that represented his purpose toward us. Hallelujah, to save us and to change our lives forever. He saw the scars in his hands and the scars in his feet and the scars in his side as this is perfect. This is the body that I want because it represents my purpose. Oh, hallelujah, the scars remain because that is what Jesus wanted to represent. He wanted the resurrection to reveal his glory, that I've covered your sins, hallelujah, with my blood, that I've overcome the evil one so that you can too, that I've provided a means and a way for victory and liberty in your life. Hallelujah, those scars reveal his glory. God wanted to show us that he could turn humiliation into victory, to make death a defeated foe, and to open a path where all souls can be saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I ask you today, what about your scars? Hallelujah. We know why Jesus had scars. Because it defined his name, it defined his purpose, it defined his desire. He showcased to the world, to everyone that would look, to everyone that would see, that there's still scars here because I'm still in the saving business. Amen? But what about our scars? I'm here to tell you that no matter if you've lived an entire life in church, if you've been in and out of church, or if this is the first time that you've recently been in the house of the Lord, there's some things in your life that either happened to you or that you did yourself that you wish would have never happened in your life. Amen? And I'm so thankful for the God who saves, because God saves us from those things. He delivers us from those bondages. He delivers us from those problems and those issues. He can clear any addiction. He can heal any depression. He can solve any issue with anxiety. He can heal any sickness. He can cure any disease. He can do whatever he wants to. Hallelujah, because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Our God is able to save your soul no matter what you've been through and no matter what you've done. And I'm so thankful that God heals the hurt. He heals the trauma. He heals the issues. He heals all the things that you've been through in your life and your past. I'm so thankful for that. But God does not take away the memory. The scars still remain. Amen? When you have a scar on your skin, your skin's perfectly healed. There's nothing wrong with your skin anymore, but you may have a little lump there that's a scar that knows that something happened to that body. Everything's perfectly functional now. There's not any issue with it anymore, but that scar still remains. Amen? Now, our scars are not the same as Jesus' scars. But our scars are to remind us, I truly believe, that God was able to deliver you then. And the I am salvation that he is says, I'm going to be able to deliver you tomorrow. I'm going to be able to deliver you today. I'm going to be able to deliver you the next day. Hallelujah. Those scars remain to remind us that Jesus is still in the saving business. Jesus is still in the miracle working business. Jesus is still in the victory business. Hallelujah. Those scars tell us that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once bound, but now I'm delivered. The chains aren't on me. You may be able to see the place where the shackles were, but they're gone, baby. Hallelujah. I'm able to find victory in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No past. No family history. No issues that you've caused yourself, hallelujah, are able to keep you from the powerful victory that is in the scars of Jesus Christ. Nothing's able to deliver you from what God wants to do in your life if you walk towards him. But those scars remind us that he's done it once and he can do it again. But those scars also remind us of the things that happened in our past. And sometimes we can let the mindset of the world and the mindset of a focus in the church on redemption and being a new creature to take us away from the fact that our scars are not something to be ashamed of. Amen? The life we lived before is not our scars. But the things that we carried out with it and the things that God has healed and forgiven are our scars. We should be ashamed of the life that we lived before. God, I'm sorry for what I did. But we shouldn't be ashamed of the experiences and the thoughts and the things that it developed us in as we were in it. Amen? I feel and I worry that too many times we get so focused on the redemptive power of God. We get so focused on being a new creature that we hinder ourselves or stop ourselves from being used of God in a way that was developed in the world. Praise the Lord. I have some awesome brothers here that went with me to men's conference, that we were there and we got to fellowship for a little bit. And I'm so thankful for men's conference. Well, one of the men's conference's members that they had that was preaching was Brother Carter. And Brother Carter talked about how he learned how to play guitar or refined his effort in the guitar in bars and all these different things. He learned how to play the special way he plays in those places. And it could be very easy to say, and in fact, I believe that there were people that even came to him and said, well, you can't play that way here. Where'd you learn how to play like that in the bars? And they dismissed the scars that God wanted to use for his purpose. I'm here to tell you, whether you learned how to sing in the church or in a karaoke at a bar, God wants to use your talents. He wants to use your skills. He wants to use your abilities. He wants to use who you are. He knew you were going through all that stuff when he called you. He knew you had those problems and issues when he called you. He wanted to use you for the entirety of who you are. Hallelujah. Oh, let's not limit God and what he can do in us by saying, God, I'm just going to give you this little small bucket that I've got from the 3 months that I've been in church. Oh, God, I'm just, you know, it's been about 20 years, so I'm just going to only use the things that I've learned and grown of when I was in the church. No, we should say, God, I give you all of me. Whatever you want to use from my past, God, you use it. Whatever you want to develop me in from the things I learned, God, you use it. God, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, there's some people here that have learned through the world to be a good organizer, to be a good administrator. God needs that in the church. There have been people in the that have come from the world where they were salesmen, and they were the worst type of salesman that you can get, but they could sell the moon to anybody. God wants to use you to reach souls, amen? God wants to use you to see souls saved, amen? Hallelujah. There have been people that are out in the world that have done all kinds of different things, that have learned to be able to read people and to look at people. I'm here to tell you, God needs that in the security team. God needs that in the ability to be able to understand and distinguish the things that are going on. Everything you've experienced, all the scars that remain, have a purpose in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Because my God leaves no stone untouched. My God leaves nothing that can't be converted to his glory and his power. My God is able to overcome anything that is you've come against in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel there are people here that have held back something that God has been laying on their heart because they didn't understand that God was trying to use them in something they develop in the world. I feel there are people here that are struggling to move forward in God because they're afraid that their past, that the scars that remain may come back up to hinder them. I'm here to tell you, God is greater than whatever you've had in your past. God is greater than whatever you experience in the world. And if God is calling you to do it, he's not going to call you to lift you up on a chopping block and to chop you off. He's calling you to lift you up and to show the devil, see what I did with them, devil? See what you wanted to do? Look what I can do. They're my workmanship now. They're my masterpiece. They are beaming with God's glory with the scars that remain. Oh, God. We need to understand that Paul wasn't mincing words. He wasn't trying to make something. I think sometimes, Pastor Meehan, we get too theological about these things. Amen. Sometimes we just got to go back to the literal word of God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work for the good to those, come on, that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I've heard it preached so many times. I've heard it said so many times. Well, it's not maybe talking about just your personal good, but it's just talking about the collective good. And I really sunk into that for a little bit. But as I was studying this message, I just felt God laid on my heart that let's not try to mince words. Let's not try to divide what the Bible says. Hallelujah. If Paul said all things work for the good to those that love God, he's defining it for every single person. All things work for the good. Your worst time works for the good. Your greatest time works for the good. Your worst sin works for the good. Your best moment works for the good. Your past works for the good. Whatever you've been through, whatever you experience in your life, God is able to make it work for the good for those that love God. Don't be ashamed of your scars. Let God use all you are for his kingdom. Don't be ashamed of who you were and the things that brought into. Say, God, I thank you for delivering me from that. But God, I'm giving you all of me. Whatever you want to use, use it, God. Whoever you want me to be, I give it to you, Lord. Hallelujah. I surrender it all and watch and see the glory that God will reveal through you in him. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, there is no desert that God can't turn into a paradise. Hallelujah. There is no wilderness that God can't make a straight path out of. There is no place that God can't deliver from. He knows where you were. He knows where you are, and he knows where he desires for you to go. And if we surrender to God and we say, God, I don't want to try to figure out what I can do for you. I want to surrender myself completely to you and let you decide how you want to use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so excited for a God that can change us and that can rearrange us. Remember, church, Paul was first Saul. Amen? And Saul was a devout Pharisee that persecuted to the ninth degree the church of the living God. And when he was converted and became Paul, he didn't forget the discipline of study, the depth of understanding of the scriptures, the importance of having rabbinical instruction. But he kept all those things from his past through the scars that remained to use them for the kingdom of God. And quite frankly, I truly believe he was one of the greatest apostles that has ever lived because he let God use him the way God wanted to, not the way he thought God could. Amen. Hallelujah. As I said, these altars are open. God has called you for who you are. Your experiences and talent is part of what God wants to use, regardless of where it came from. Will you surrender to God today? Will you stop focusing on what you think you can give God and say, God, I give myself completely and totally to you. God, whatever you want for me, God, whatever you desire to have in me, God, I give it to you. If you want to use me for the things that I've developed in my past that I was once ashamed of, God, I surrender to you. God, if I was the best guitar player in the bar, God, I surrender that talent to you. Use me according to your will in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give ourselves to God right now. Let's let God have his way. Let's let God do what he wants to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's remind ourselves that he's delivered us of whatever we were in so that he could save our souls and he can deliver us from everything else. And if there's something in us that God is trying to work, that God is trying to let him have his way in, let's just surrender it to him. No matter where it came from, no matter where it was, God. Whatever scars remain, Jesus, I give it to you. Use me for the fullness of who I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's seek his face right now.